the podcast from Belmont Chapel in Exeter, sharing the story, living the life. For more information, go to belmontchapel.org.uk.
You'll remember last week I did a bit of an introduction to wisdom literature and to Proverbs, and one of the things I said was that Proverbs is the part of wisdom literature that says, if you do this, then this will happen. And it's very very positive, very affirming in that way. But wisdom literature is more than Proverbs. And what we are doing this term is hearing the whole message of the wisdom literature, which includes Ecclesiastes, that says, I keep doing this and it just doesn't seem very meaningful. Or Job, I thought I was doing all the right things, so why is this happening to me? And wisdom comes through all of these places as we come together. But before we get to the main chunk of Proverbs that Clive is going to lead us through this evening, I thought I'd just sum up the principles of what I said last week as a kind of recap, all right? So here they are. Number one, wisdom is acquired and not innate. It requires discipline. So if you want to be a wise person, Proverbs says, remember, the beginning of wisdom is this, get wisdom. So you need to seek after it. It requires you to do something, and it requires direction and discipline if you're going to do that. That's what Solomon teaches. Secondly, wisdom is taught and caught, proclaimed and demonstrated. So wisdom isn't just like an instruction book that someone gives to you and says, do this. It comes through a person, usually, and that person has authority as they live wisely. So if you want to be somebody who passes on wisdom to others, then it chimes if you are living wisely yourself. Okay? Thirdly, wisdom is lived out in the public sphere. So wisdom isn't something that you think to yourself in private, how wise you are. It is put to the test as you go out and live your life day to day. It is a Monday to Saturday, not a Sunday thing. And the principles that we talked about in Proverbs were righteousness, fairness, and justice. Of course, these things are things that we live out when we deal with other people, or we're in our jobs, or in our family. Next. Wisdom is for the simple and for the wise. So it says that it's okay if you feel simple as long as you are open to being taught. If you're not open to being taught, you're in danger of turning from a simpleton to a fool, and you don't want to become foolish. But it also says in Proverbs that you have never completed your education in wisdom. In fact, a wise person knows that they're always learning. And so humility is part of wisdom. Wisdom is founded on the fear of the Lord or submission to God. So you remember the message version of Proverbs 1:7 said, the beginning of wisdom is to find yourself on your knees before God. That's the posture through which we gain wisdom. Wisdom directs action. So it gives us practical advice as to what to do. But in doing that, it also develops our character. So it has an outward direction, but also an inward direction as we're going along as well. I'm not quite sure how many of these there are. There's another one. Wisdom reflects faithfulness to God's covenant, we said. So we also said in those first seven chapters of wisdom, subtly, there is a reference to faithfulness and unfaithfulness. In fact, the word adultery comes up quite a lot within there. And we said that actually this refers beyond the initial reference to faithfulness to God and to his covenant. So if you're going to be wise, then you are going to be faithful to God's covenant. And the last one, I think, here we are, is this. Wisdom is fully manifest and complete in Christ. So we said as well that when we read any text in the Old Testament, or any part of the Bible, we have to read it within the context of the place that it is placed. So wisdom texts are in the middle of the Old Testament, and they are read at a place which is looking towards Jesus, but not yet fulfilled in Jesus. And that changes the way in which we read that. I like the fact that wisdom, that Proverbs, I said finally, that when I read it in the office and I talked to whoever was there about it, I said, when reading these things, I'm actually feeling a bit wiser reading these words. So I don't know if anybody read Proverbs last week. I think Christine did, because you were telling me that you were doing three chapters a day or something like that. That if you sit and read it, and preferably try and read it in a fairly short space of time, you will sense this kind of accumulation of practical wisdom that has come from somebody who has had experience and is seeking to pass that on. And so that is at the heart of what the book of Proverbs is about. It's not rules, it's not laws, it is advice that comes from observing the world around us and underpinned by the covenant of God. That's what I said last week, and Kai's going to come now and take us from there into some of the more detailed bits.
But we're going to work together on that, so yeah, we'll do a bit more on that. So Steve's done the whole lesson about principles, and our plan is this evening to look a little bit more at practical. So how do you live out that wisdom? How do we read this book of many little sayings? What can we learn from a book that doesn't have rules or instruction in it, but has these wise sayings? Just want to read from Proverbs 8 before we go into... So the reading for tonight was given on the term card as Proverbs 10 through to 22. 12 chapters. We're not reading them all, don't worry. We're going to just read the first part of Proverbs chapter 8, and then we'll come to looking at a section of that bit later on. So Proverbs 8, and this is about wisdom calling out. And we talked about characters and people. I wonder whether when I was reading this, Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount, wisdom calling out and people came and listened to him. Does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice? At the highest point along the way, where the paths meet, she takes her stand. Beside the gate leading to the city, at the entrance, she cries aloud. To you, O people, I call out. I raise my voice to all humanity. You who are simple, gain prudence. You who are foolish, set your hearts on it. Listen, for I have trustworthy things to say. I open my lips to speak what is right. My mouth speaks what is true, for my lips detest wickedness. All the words of my mouth are just, none of them are crooked or perverse. To the discerning, all of them are right. They are upright to those who have found knowledge. Choose my instruction instead of silver, knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is more precious than rubies. Nothing you can desire can compare with her. Those two verses were the song we sang at the end of last week as we thought about wisdom and thought about how precious they are. Wisdom calls out. So how are we going to listen? How will we put it into practice? There are many, many sayings. We're going to do a short introduction to how we might go about thinking about Proverbs. And then you're going to do a fair bit of work looking at two chapters. And Steve invited questions last week and said, please come with questions. Please come and discuss things. So there'll be time to share together, fire out questions into an open shared space, reflect on what we've learned together. And then we're going to have a short time of intercessory prayer and then some concluding thoughts on working with Proverbs. So that's where we're going. It's a bit sort of bits and pieces. I hope that makes sense, yeah? I hope you're up for a bit of working together. I know not everyone likes that. If you don't like that, don't worry. Just sit on the edge of a group and listen in, okay? So it'd be fine. But as we start, Steve focused on chapter 1 last week and the principles of what is wisdom and how to get it. If you want wisdom, get wisdom. Really helpful. That's a really key phrase, actually. Because if you want wisdom, live wisdom. Just do it. It's the best way to work on wisdom. But the next eight chapters, chapters 2 through to 9, are essentially a set of parental lectures. It's a father speaking to a son. Look out for these things, learn these things, pay attention, listen to the right voices. Wisdom is good, beware of folly. And so you get all this stuff, and it says, my son, keep your father's commands and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Wise words already, aren't they? Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20. That's what's going on in the next eight chapters. And then we hit chapter 10, where we get what many of us, I think, would identify as Bible proverbs. Da-da-da-da-da, something else. And a whole load of those phrases, if you look through Proverbs. And you might be thinking, what on earth has this got to do with following Jesus? What on earth has this got to do with following Jesus? And I think I want to just introduce an idea that maybe will help you remember it. And I've learned something this week. My subtitle for this talk was The Way of Gnomes. Let me explain. So you remember the photograph. Steve is an English graduate, and therefore this wasn't new to him, but it was completely new to me because I'm a math person and I don't know anything about literature. But apparently, the Greek word for proverbs, or short sayings of pithy, memorable information, is gnome, or nom. So a nomic saying is a short, pithy statement, memorable statement, that expresses general truth, wisdom, or morality. That's what a proverb is. So if anything tonight, just think to yourself, if you're going to remember what proverbs are, think about gnomes. Think about what are the gnomes I'm looking for this week that might teach me something, where I might learn something, okay? It's a saying we might be familiar with, things like, too many cooks spoil the broth. That's a nomic saying, apparently. Yeah, and we understand what that means. But we also understand when that's contrasted with many hands make light work. Hang on a minute, you just said too many cooks spoil the broth. But many hands make light work. Oh, how do we work that one out then? But we sort of know it, don't we? We know how to decode that in some way a little bit and think, oh, too many people involved bossing us around, but many people will share the task. We're working those things out. Or maybe, for those who are more classically trained, it is a truth universally acknowledged. Does anyone want to finish that off for me? It is a truth universally acknowledged that a single man in possession of a good fortune must be in want of a wife. A universal truth? Really? But we would see that as a nomic saying. Yeah, a sort of something that's used to try and remind us of something that isn't actually universally truth, but in that culture, people knew what was being said. Most of Proverbs is like that. From chapter 10 onwards, there's lots of those sayings. And so we need to work out what to do with them. They're quite haphazard. They're quite mixed up. They're quite a bit like, you've seen those photo mosaics where you see lots of little pictures that make a big picture. And the little pictures don't have much relationship to each other, but when you step back, you see the shade and the light. I'm looking at Nick and thinking, you know about art, you know how they make those things probably. You know, they're amazing, aren't they? But you look at the little mini pictures and you're thinking, what's that? What's going on there? But they're all part of something. And I think Proverbs is a bit like that photo mosaic. You get lots and lots of things. So here are some truths in Proverbs. A wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish son brings grief to his mother. Why that way around? Does it matter? I don't know whether it matters or not. Or is it teaching something about parents and responsibility of children? He who gathers crops in summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps during harvest is a disgraceful son. Yeah, these little phrases, little wisdom, they're not rules and laws for us to follow, but they teach us things. The righteous of the upright delivers them, righteousness of the upright delivers them, but the unfaithful are trapped by evil desires. We echo that and we understand what that means, don't we? But how do we live by it? For lack of guidance, a nation falls, but victory is won through many advisors. Interesting idea, victory. We don't tend to think of one side beating another side. But what sort of victory might the Bible be talking about? How might we see those phrases? So there's just four from chapter 10 and 11 to think about nomic sayings. So look out for your gnomes over the next week and see what we might find. Is everything true? Is everything a law? Should it be obeyed? Should it be followed literally? If this, then this, Steve said. Does that mean it's guaranteed to come out that way? Is it a promise of scripture like that? I don't think it is. I found this a helpful phrase. Proverbs contains principles, not prediction. Principles, not promise. Observation, not oracle. It's things that we understand and see in the world around us. And I think sometimes we're asked to observe wisdom. We're asked to observe it and notice wisdom and go, oh, that echoes godly values. That echoes what I've read somewhere in Proverbs. So rather than read the book and go, ooh, if I do this, then I'll get this. It's like, oh, that's a lens to see the world through. Steve just said, reading it that way is a really great way of, oh, that makes sense. Of course you'd do that, wouldn't you? Yeah? So here's the moment when there'll be an opportunity for you to discuss where we're going to be going. I've got some questions on the screen and on some paper here. Steve and Adrian maybe like to give me a hand with distributing them in a minute. And chapters 10 and 11 of Proverbs are a suggestion as to where we might go and have a read. There's printouts of chapters 10 and 11 here, if you've not got them on a Bible in front of you or a phone. And what I'd love you to do is just have a look at them and go, what are the big ideas that are coming out here? So not just the individual micro bits, but step back in the photo mosaic and go, what's going on? What might I learn? What's the common themes that are coming up? Because there are common themes that get mentioned. Not just righteousness and justice, but in detail. Things about harvest. Things about animal welfare. A few other bits and pieces as well. So we're going to give it a fair amount of time for that, about 10 minutes, and then come back and comment, prepare to feedback. If you've got questions that came up from last week's principles, then Steve and I are both happy to answer them. But Steve did encourage questions as much as possible. So we will do that. There's some pens here if you need pens. Just turn into groups as best you feel comfortable, unhook chairs and move around to save having to twist backs. Make some feedback and come and share. As I say, if you don't feel like talking, you're not sure who you're sitting next to, you're not comfortable with that, please don't feel forced. Just sit and listen at the edge of something. That's fine. But hopefully enough people will want to take part and join in. So here's the questions. What principles and themes at work? What is the good that is commended? What is the bad that's discouraged? How do these proverbs demonstrate awe for Yahweh, fear of the Lord? How do they reveal Christ among us? What situations in our daily lives, front lines, could this be applied to? You don't need to do all five of those for every single proverb. It's just a shape of discussion. Is everyone up for that? Does that make some sort of sense? Can we do that? It's just easier to look at those things in groups and learn. One of the comments I heard from people were, proverbs are quite funny, and you can laugh at them. You can laugh at them. I don't know whether any of you have old enough to have had a Good News Bible published in the 1970s with lots of line drawings in it. Yeah, so I've got some nods there. And the Proverbs had loads of little silly line drawings across them. Really quite funny ones, yeah? And it's meant to make you laugh. It's meant to make you think life is a bit quirky, isn't it? So don't be afraid of thinking, that's a bit strange, that's a bit odd. Any observations on any of those questions? What things are coming out for you that you see that are principles or themes that are coming out? There's lots of detail, I know, and we've only had a few minutes to look at it. But hopefully maybe just some thoughts about, oh, that's interesting. Or just what struck you? Any questions? Any comments? Anything for Steve? Hey, Lise, thank you for starting us off.
Okay, first of all, it's a real grab bag. It's a real mixture of stuff. It's an interesting stew. It seemed to me that oftentimes if you look at the proverb and you think, no, the wealthy do not live a good life, or alternatively, the poor are not unrighteous, you know. So it seemed to me that it's not a question of the here and now, that many of the Proverbs, if not all of them, require an eternal perspective.
Yeah.
That doesn't answer any of those questions.
No, maybe, well, I think it's about themes. Take the long view on this stuff. It's not transactional. Remember, the Lord is not transactional, he's relational. That's the really important thing I think I saw in Proverbs, which is these things can look transactional, but God is relational. He's building a relationship with us. And that's the wisdom and folly thing. What do you want to have a relationship with? Any other observations, comments? How you found that? Was it just weird? Pierre?
Yeah, thank you.
I think it's quite nice to see that there's quite a clear contrast between good and evil there. Mm-hmm. It's very distinct, and that seems to be a theme throughout all the verses.
Yeah.
Is there's always that kind of that tension between, you know, what's good and what's right and what's not so right.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a choice to be made. People have got a choice. Yeah, that's right. So often the Proverbs express a choice.
Chris.
Yeah. Thank you, Chris.
One thing that struck us is not just about good and evil. It's about just good manners, being nice to people.
Yeah.
Which doesn't sound very spiritual, but, you know.
Well, we'll come to it a little bit later on, but an awful lot of this stuff doesn't sound very spiritual. And I wonder whether we make life sound too spiritual and we just need to do it in the day-to-day. And a lot of Proverbs is the day-to-day of life, isn't it? Yeah? And we trip up and we mess up. I know that. But the day-to-day of life. I often will talk to people when I'm thinking about discipleship and one-to-one. My biggest challenge is how I ride my bike. Not whether I fall off or not, but how I treat somebody who cuts me up on the roundabout. That's where my discipleship really makes a difference. Isn't it? Yeah? So, anyway, look out for me. Any more questions? Any more comments? Just share something that struck you. Maybe Thank you, Andrew.
I'm being peer pressured to say the fancy word that I said. That a fair few of them are tautologists.
Tautologists.
In that they kind of state the obvious. Like the one it says, where has it gone? Hopes placed in mortals die with them. It's like, because they're mortal, they will die. It's kind of states the obvious, but then kind of takes it a step further, the necessary implication of what that thing is. And both the good ones and the bad ones is quite stark.
Yeah.
And I sometimes find, particularly at work, sometimes stating the obvious thing that's going unsaid is actually really helpful, because false assumptions and all sorts, and going back to basics, I think, would be really helpful.
Great. Yeah, yeah. Just state the obvious. State the get on with it stuff. Good. Paul.
Proverbs 11, verse 10. Those who have no sense deride their neighbours, but those who have understanding hold... Oh, no, it's 12, sorry. 10. When the righteous prosper, the city rejoices. When the wicked perish, there are shouts for joy, which is a double positive, which is rather unusual in all these other sayings through here.
Yeah, yeah. So there's lots of offsetting of verses. There's different ones like that when you read them. But yeah, another principle. Dorothy down at front here wanted to say something, Steve. And then we will move on to a time of prayer based around three proverbs.
It seems to me that we can thank God for the gift of common sense. there is wisdom latent in our thinking.
Absolutely. Brilliant, Dorothy. That's the evening sorted. We thank God for our common sense, because actually that is what a lot of the Proverbs are revealing. Stuff that we go, oh yeah, that makes sense. It doesn't always happen, as we know with the Ecclesiastes and Job, as Steve was saying. But it starts with that. And so I think Proverbs are often written not as a God proclaims this to us, but rather here is Solomon's gathering of the way the world works, where God is ordering it well. And I can see the good things and I affirm them. Steve,
I was just going to say, it reminded me of there was somebody in Luton who's called T. He was a Nigerian guy. He was a friend of mine, and he taught an adult football team. I think I've said this in a sermon in the past, but I remember him very clearly coming after a game once, and he told me about how his team came in at half time and they were losing. They were losing, I can't remember, 2-0 or something like this, and his players all thought he was going to tear a strip off them. And his team talk said, you're losing, but you're doing the right things. What you need to do in the second half is keep doing the right things. And in a sense, that's really interesting for Proverbs, isn't it? Because sometimes we can feel like we're losing, but we still need to keep doing the right things. And keep doing the right things, practicing it so that it becomes muscle memory, so that it becomes second nature, is, I think, innate in this there. So really interesting.
So we're going to take a time just to use some of those proverbs to pray together for our world. And Claire's going to come and help lead that. And then we will turn to just some closing thoughts around proverbs and how we practice wisdom day to day. So Claire, do you want to come and lead us? Thank you very much. As we pray together, let's use wisdom to pray for the world as we look around us to inform us. Just got a few more thoughts as we close, just to draw together how we might practice wisdom. We talked a bit about the principles of wisdom. We had a look at how you might discern some wisdom, and the fact it's not an instruction, but it's an observation. Steve mentioned this last week, and I think it's just a really helpful thing. LICC, London Institute for Contemporary Christianity, have got this model of 6 M's of good living, wise living. And you can read around that. And I think that's about wisdom. That's wisdom practiced in everyday life. It's lived out in the public sphere. Here's the thing. Wisdom is about doing. Wisdom is lived and enacted, not just knowing something clever. If wisdom is about formation, formation needs work. Get shaped. Chiseling something out, maybe, or something growing, or building something. It's lived out in the public sphere. That's what we had in chapter 1, verse 7, about the before the Lord and living out wisdom. Sometimes we'll get it wrong. Sometimes, as we're going to find out with Ecclesiastes and Job, it doesn't work the way we think it's going to work. We've got to work on that and think about what happens, because God is bigger than just those little instants, those little moments.
Proverbs is a book which I just think Derek Kidner has this lovely picture about living it out. Proverbs is a book which seldom takes you to church. Very little mention of church and God and religious practices in Proverbs. But like its own figure of wisdom, it calls across you in the street about some everyday matter or points things out at home. Its function in Scripture is to put godliness into working clothes. I love that phrase. Take Scripture, put it into everyday clothes. To name business and society, IT programming, teaching, shopping, cycling your bike, whatever it is, in which we are to acquit ourselves with credit to our Lord and in which we are looking for his training. I love that description of the purpose of Proverbs. It's to put godliness into working clothes, or as Dorothy put it, godly common sense. It's great, isn't it? We're called to do that and to live that way. And I think, if just want to draw some thoughts around, in the New Testament, Paul often commends churches. If you read his letters, he gives thanks to churches, your faith, hope and love, all those sort of things. He's not just commending their Sunday services. He's commending the fact they're living in wisdom. He's commending their character. They're living according to the Beatitudes. Jesus talks about wisdom, doesn't he? When he talks about blessed, blessed, this is the way to live. This is the way to live. If you're thinking, oh, this is Old Testament, how do I work with the New? Sometimes read the Proverbs. I wonder whether the Beatitudes are almost a very short summary of what it means to be wise, what it means for wise living. And in Belmont Speak, we talk about wisdom, we talk about living well, we talk about living the life, don't we? So godliness in working clothes is living the life. These whole chunks of chapters have lots and lots of detail, all of them quite entertaining, some of them quite challenging. But here's some principles that I think come out, and we're not going to work through them in any detail apart from to list them. Wisdom's themes, I think these things come out regularly through reading these things. Fear of the Lord, love, faithfulness, generosity, friendship, discipline, work, justice, economic integrity, personal integrity. They're the headings that come out again and again if you read and repeat. Yeah? And then you get, where does that take place? Where do you fear the Lord? And they come out quite a lot as well. Family, marriage, parenting, workplace, health, security, property, conversations, words, governance, welfare. So how do these principles work out in this place? And if you look at those, if you read Proverbs, as has been suggested regularly, it's 31 chapters, you could read Proverbs once every month, do a chapter a day, and you'd be very wise, I think, by the end of it, in all these things. So that's what I was saying when we looked at the conversation. What themes might we draw out rather than, oh, what does that verse mean? Some of these themes come out again and again and again. They're echoed again and again. I don't know whether you've seen this film, and Steve mentioned a little bit of the idea. It's a film based on the true story of 2009 when Chesley Sonnenberger, Sully is his abbreviation, was piloting a plane that took off from New York Airport, had a bird strike, both engines failed, and he had to glide that plane down onto the Hudson River. And he was lauded as a hero for having done it. Successfully landed, no plane crashed, everyone off safely, and he struggled with the idea of being a hero. He struggled with being described that way. Because he talked about how he trained for that moment. He'd never actually trained for that actual thing, but he knew how to fly his plane. He knew how to deal with when engines fail. He knew where to land the plane if it was a problem. And it was a reflex for him. It was a reflex. He didn't get out the book of Proverbs at that moment. I think, I wonder what it says in chapter 12. It was a reflex. Tom Wright talks about that as virtue living, practicing the virtues of God. Developing lifelong wisdom is about doing that wisdom in everyday life. What are you practicing? What are you practicing in your wisdom living? How are we beginning to regularly respond to wisdom in our lives? It's something I find myself being challenged by again and again in everyday, ordinary things. How will I respond with wisdom to everyday circumstances? Practice every day is a good thing. That's what my mum told me about piano practice, and I suspect the same is true about wisdom as well. Don't just wait for a crisis. Don't wait for the bird strike. Practice every day. That'll make all the difference. Because when the bird strike comes, you will know the Lord Jesus is just a natural reflex for you. That's the offer of life. Moses challenged people, and Pierre, thank you for that. There's a choice. We face a choice. Will we follow folly or wisdom? That's the first chapter, isn't it? Where will we follow? Moses, at chapter 30, says to the people of Israel, what will you choose? And we think, well, of course you're going to choose life, unless you're watching the Trainspotting movie, which may not be quite so. But generally, we choose the good thing, don't we? But these people didn't, again and again and again. What on earth were they doing? Choose life. Jesus is the king who gives life. Jesus is the king who has brought resurrection life to the world. Listen to his voice. Hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land that he swore to give your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That was the promise of the people of Israel. He promises us life to the full through Jesus Christ. Choose life. Live wisdom is to choose life. I was going to ask Steve to sing this for me, because he's a good singer, isn't he? Whose song is it, Steve? What, This Way? And who was the group? Run DMC, that's right. And I am not going to sing it. Steve's the singer of the two of us. I am not the singer. It's a bit small. Sorry about that. I think in the New Testament, there's this pattern again and again of walking wisdom. We think of the letters. We think of all this great spiritual advice. But actually, Paul is commending them for working out their salvation in fear and trembling, Philippians 2:13. Let's just live it out day by day. Or Jesus says, come and follow my way. Be yoked to me, and you will not be weary and exhausted, because you'll find the way of wisdom. Walk at my pace, walk with me. Or Galatians chapter 5, since we are lived by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. You could probably find loads of pictures of paths and walking, couldn't you? How often is the Christian faith about walking in wisdom with the Lord Jesus, who is wisdom himself, saying, come my way, come and walk alongside me. Because I am the way, the truth, and the life. In Mark, Matthew, and Luke, Jesus is approached by a rich young ruler. What must I do to get eternal life? And Jesus does not give a set of rules. He does not say, go and read Proverbs. He says, well, we know what he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. That is wise living. Right there, summed up, isn't it? And actually, echoed in Proverbs is the same phrase. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Live well in everyday life. We're called to be wise people, not because we are clever, but because we follow a wise Lord who we trust with our hearts. So going back to my theme, look out for the gnomes this week. See what you might learn as you follow Jesus and see what he shows you in the week about wise living and the opportunities to go his way. Thank you.
Thanks, Clive.